glorify God, and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist who has extensive counseling experience providing counseling from a Christian perspective. He specializes in helping people overcome these problems and build their self-esteem, reduce guilt, and improve marital relationships. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens, located in Port St. Lucie, is available at 772-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
There are certain things when we want God to stay, and this, I believe, is our work to create a culture of God's presence. Not just, you know, the logos, the word, and teaching. That's one thing. But we need the word and the spirit. You know, during the time of the teaching restoration back in the 70s, it didn't matter whether the word, whether the spirit came or not. They were just teaching principles, how-tos. You know, that everyone was wearing, not everyone, but a lot of people wore suspenders. That's when everybody started carrying briefcases, and it started to become conferences now rather than revivals. It was more about learning, you know, so one hour to the second, you know, they would teach. It didn't matter how the Spirit was moving. That was just information, teaching, and instruction. But today, God having restored all offices, it's not just about the teaching or the word, but the word and the spirit. Okay, so this is our apostolic work, to create a culture of God's presence. Okay? In Acts chapter 4, verse 31 to 33, Acts 4, 31 to 33, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. And great grace was upon them all. Go to Acts chapter 5. In verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear, awe, came on all them that heard these things. Skip down to verse 12 through 14. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, listen to this. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. That says in verse 13, and of the rest, durst no man join himself to them. In other words, this awesome presence of God drew a line in the sand. And all those who God was touching joined themselves. But the ones he wasn't touching would have nothing to do with it. They didn't want anything to do with it. So they left. And of the rest, doth no man join himself to them. They got out of there. But however it manifested, it was a rude, an awesome, rude awakening. It frightened some away, but it caused others to be joined. Remember, Jesus spoke in parables to many, so that those that really didn't have an ear to hear wouldn't hear. Those that weren't being drawn by the Father, all they would hear were the parable. But the ones that had an ear to hear, there was something in the parable that they would hear that would draw them. So the awesome presence of God will drive or it will draw. But it's going to impact and affect the environment. The culture God has to restore back into the church is that of his presence, the supernatural presence, not just here and there, but on a consistent basis. This is God's house. You are God's house. You are his temple. As a matter of fact, you know, I was thinking today about, you know, we practice fasting on Wednesdays. I always make a point of trying to identify religious activity and resist religious stuff. And, you know, beyond just picking a day during the week, which is not wrong to fast, we must exercise ourselves to a fasted life. Not just saying, you know, on Wednesday I'm fasting. No, what about Thursday, Friday? You just go hog wild. Well, Wednesday coming, I'm on. No. God wants a fasted life. In other words, he wants a vessel that can maintain or cause his presence to tarry. You know, God wants to remain. He said, if my word abides in you and you abide in my word. In other words, abide, remain, stay, stay. How about God? Listen, the Lord, tell somebody beside you, God wants to stay longer with you. He has more to say to you, more to do for you, more to reveal to you. But he wants to stay. You know, the Holy Ghost and Jesus and the Father are not just those that will impose upon you. And this is going to stay anyhow. No, his eyes go to and fro in search of hearts that he might show himself mighty. I want to say to you, as we move forward into the future, the tangible presence of God is going to become more and more. It's not going to become less and less. Heaven is beginning to kiss earth more than ever before. And it's going to become more and more tangible. That's why we have to make sure that our vessels are clean, that our message is pure, that our life is positioned before God properly, and that we're not living carelessly or hiding things. You know, time out for hiding stuff. You know, trying to impress people, but then knowingly, you know, living another lifestyle when people aren't watching you. Treating people a certain way when pastor or apostle are out. But then when they're not around, you go off. I feel like shouting right now. Because it's true. These are areas that we have to improve upon and work upon. People want to throw their weight around that they don't really carry. Amen. When they're not around those that are over, but they act differently. See, that's hypocrisy. And here's what's going to happen as the presence of God takes over more and more, is that the hypocrite's going to be fearful in Zion. There's some fear coming on the hypocrite. Those that live in hypocrisy. I know we're not perfect people. I'm not talking about those that, you know, their heart is out. I'm talking about the hypocrite. There's a fear. And there's a conviction that's going to come strong. It's going to come from the presence of God. Ananias and Sapphira, the presence was so strong then that it brought death. It took them out. See, God is serious about his church. When he comes, is he coming back? What is he going to find when he comes back? Will he find the church that he started or something else? A country club, everything and everybody's welcome, or will he find his church? Amen. Amen. I sense an awe in the house. Okay, let me give you these real quick. Three types of presence. There's what the word calls what we call the omnipresence of God. God is present everywhere at the same time, and you can call on him from any place, he'll be right there. Then there's the manifested presence of God. God is revealing himself more powerfully than he ever did before for a purpose. Let's say for a particular part of the service, God shows up because there's a particular purpose and need he wants to meet. Then we have the indwelling presence. That's the saturation of God in your spirit, where the word and Christ and the Holy Ghost are becoming consciously more and more present inside of you. Well, one of the things we have to understand as children of God, you don't just have an anointing. See, anointings come for a particular service. Like you that preach or sing in that, you know, whatever you do, during that time, there's an anointing upon you, whether it be administration, you know, ushering. There's anointings that come where you're anointed. I mean, you're in your metron. Well, you don't always feel that. You know, at home, you don't feel like ushering. You know, you don't feel like preaching. Or, I'm tired of it. I ain't doing that here. I'm going to sleep. You're not anointed then. But there's an indwelling Christ. And see, sometimes people are just focused on their anointing. And see, the Lord doesn't tarry because you're just looking for that anointing. But there's something beyond the anointing, and that's the indwelling. He's always there. If you start to practice and to embrace that outside of your time to having to perform, to preach, and you stay in that dimension, he'll tarry with you. He'll talk to you just like you were under the anointing. Just like you were at the top of the mountain, he'll still talk to you. And we have to become more and more aware that God doesn't, you know, just because the feeling kind of, you know, after a few days, like the fragrance changes. No, God don't change. He's still there. So how do we convince God to tarry? But what do I need to do? Because I don't want to just know you on Sunday. I want every day to be like Sunday. Guess what? It can be. Can be. It doesn't mean that we don't have trials and that and we're not among the saints. But you can, like Jesus, wherever he went, however he walked, he was always in the presence of his Father because he was not governed by his ministerial anointing. He was governed by his sonship to his Father, a relationship. And out of the relationship will flow our ministry. But folk get anointed, and then that's all they focus on. Sometimes they live all kind of, let me say it this way, jacked up lives because the anointing, the gift is without repentance. And so as long as they can perform, they can do their thing back there, but they don't understand. They're headed for shipwreck. Because our anointing, our ministry flows out of our relationship. And we are those that are, I'm going to say this, I declare this, we are those that are going to finish strong. We're not getting weaker and weaker because there's some holes in our armor. There's some sins in our life that are hidden. Nobody else knows about. No, if that is your life, then you know for a fact you are getting weaker and weaker and things ain't working. But when you deal with sin, when you have the conviction of sin and you don't allow these things to govern or to have inroads into your life or relationships, then you find that the presence of God will tarry. He will stay. See, there are benefits to getting God to stay. You know, our other little granddaughter, Emiah. Lord Jesus. I mean, she is so, all our grandchildren are lovable, but Emiah has a motor. And she's like this. I say it this way. This is in a nutshell. This is me describing her. You can't wait till she wakes up. As a matter of fact, I went in there and woke up one time, just got a little bit, and she got and I finally got up, and she got to chasing me around. But then, by the end of the day, you can't wait till she go to sleep. She is so full of life. Huh? I mean, just full of life.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.